Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Americana Bistro Grill. I'm your host, Roberto Alvarez Galloso, serving you the best in Americana music and Americana artists. Right now, we're inviting one of the greatest legend among legends in Americana music from Texas, Laura Marie. The first time I heard Laura Marie, I was going through a very bad phase, and her version of the Cherry Tree Carol helped me. I'm going to invite her to come because I invited her for the interview and she accepted. We're just going to see if we could get this moving. Let's see. Okay, I already invited Laura Marie. We're just waiting for her to answer the invitation. At the same time, hello, Laura Marie. We're just getting ready for you right here. Thanks for coming in. Okay. Come one, come all. We're waiting for you. For me, it's a great pleasure to have you here when you're ready. Let's see if...
We're still connecting.
Yeah, hello, Laura Marie. Hello. For me, it's
hi, how are you?
For me, it's a pleasure and an honor having you here. I wanted to personally thank you, since your version of the Cherry Tree Carol actually saved my life a long time ago. When I first heard your music, and I wanted to meet you in Texas, or you come here in Florida, I heard your music. And I was undergoing one of those terrible phases in life. You probably remember that. And it was on one of those terrible phases that I wanted to do away with myself. Not in the sense that I wanted suicide or anything. I just wanted like Rod Stewart once said, a walk among the living dead. Yet the Cherry Tree Carol, when I heard your version, I said, no, I have to keep going. And I kept going. I wanted to thank you for that. And I invited you because we're now doing the Americana Bistro Grill. Again, we're reviving it, but not in AMI radio. We're now reviving it in the AG News Show. And you're one of the first guests. And this is a Christmas special with the Americana Bistro Grill.
That's awesome.
So we wanted to ask you about your career, what projects you have, and how is Christmas in Texas?
Doing a lot of writing songs, and I'm also writing some other writing projects that go beyond music, so I'm doing that. And Texas is doing well. I mean, it's Christmas. We're going to be a very busy Christmas, because I'll be going to Chicago for a short period of time, then we'll be home, then we'll go to Nebraska. So there's going to be family and trips and all sorts of things going on. So it's a very, very busy time of year for us. We usually don't travel during Christmas, so this is going to be a new thing for us.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I've asked this many times, since we're redoing the Americana Bistro Grill. What inspired you to record such a beautiful rendition of the Cherry Tree Carol that not only left me here with the heart, but also said, I have to live. At least do something.
Well, I just know that I grew up hearing Jose Feliciano's version.
Yeah, I heard his version too.
We had that album, his Christmas album, playing all the time, Feliz Navidad, in our home growing up. And I loved that song. Every time that song came on, I'd get chills and I'd get goosebumps. Just the story that it told, and it would leave me in tears. I mean, if I sat there and listened to it, it would make me cry by the end of it. So I'd always said that I wanted to do a version of it, and I think there were several versions out there. There was Jose Feliciano's, and then there was also Joan Baez did a version.
Oh, yes, I remember Joan Baez.
Yeah, and then I think there might have been one or two more that I saw, but there was no, specific way to do it, and there were different lyrics too, but they all generally had the same meaning, but they just took different forms. It's an old folk song that people have interpreted in different ways, and so I sat down and I figured out how. Well, first of all, what I did was I actually composed a version for a four-part choir for my my composition final in college, and actually the St. Mary's Choir performed it at their Christmas event, and I have that music somewhere around here for that, and I'm sure I have it recorded somewhere as well, but it's just been a long time since I've heard that. So then I decided that I was going to do a version just on guitar, and I just played around with it a lot. So I've actually done two or three different versions of it, just on my own, at times that I've been asked to play Christmas songs or something, and that one comes up, and I've had to change it a little bit just to make it work, but I just love that song, and it's always moved me, and it has the power to move people, so.
Yeah, and that, of all the songs that I've heard from you, like Good Enough, and the last of the ones, the album, it was that song itself, that song that moved me. Plus the other version of the plus there was another singer that sang with that was singing with the album of the Cherry Tree Carol. I'm trying to remember. I loved his version of Angel We Have Heard on High. I'm trying to remember the name now, but your version of the Cherry Tree Carol also broke me into tears, and I said no, keep going. And I'm very happy about the fact that you've been doing all of this. You've talked about Joan Baez. What has been the difference between your style and the style of Joan Baez?
Well, it's funny because people have given me that comparison. There's been a few people who brought that up, and I don't know, because I mean, I believe them, but I've never really heard a lot of her music myself. It's not something that I studied.
Hello? We're having problems with this signal here. Let me see. I'm hoping that the signal comes back. Just 1 minute. Hello? 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 I think we lost Laura Maria a little bit. Let me try again. Hello? Okay, 1 minute. Okay, let me go back again and get her. Get back to Laura Marie. Let's try again. Just requested. Let's see. Just 1 minute. We're losing.
Back.
Yeah, we're back. Sorry, but I'm having problems with my remote here and the cell phone. But you were saying about the comparison with Joan Baez.
Right. I people say that comparison. I had never even heard her music. I knew who she was. I knew. But, you know, that she was a really well-known folk singer. I didn't consider myself folk at the time, though. So, you know, I started out in an alternative rock band as a lead singer for that. And then when I went solo, I was just writing how I felt and what I thought, and, you know, that sort of thing. And then I spent some time amongst other folk singers at the Kerrville Folk Festival. And I think I started leaning more and more towards folk, but I didn't have any guideposts that said, oh, I want to sound like Joan Baez or anything like that. But, and still to this day, I'm not really that familiar with their music. So I'm not one to, like if you quiz me on it, I wouldn't know a thing, but I have great admiration for her. And I actually, you know, I have this group for women in music called Sisters of Song, and we have Women Crush Wednesdays, and I actually chose her as one of my crushes just because based on just how long she's been doing this and sharing her art and the kind of you know, social justice issues that she takes on and has spoken up about. It's to me that is something that I look up to a great deal. And I really wish I was more familiar with their music, and I probably should be. but then I get tied up in my own writing and stuff like that, and I don't listen enough to other people.
Yep. Is that Laura Marie? You're Laura Marie. Which leads me to the next question. You talked about Sisters of Song. What is it? Yes. What is it about?
Well, it's a group I put together because I really felt like that women are underrepresented in important roles in music. So, you know, a lot of times we come to it as if we don't have as much say in the terms and the way the music industry runs. I mean, I think a lot of artists could say that, male or female, but I felt that women had a very unique experience, that we faced specific things that we had to deal with. there's a lot of times that, you know, you get asked to be on a show, or at least this was, you know, when I was throughout my career, where it's like, well, we can't have too many women on the show. Well, you know, that's just too much or something like that. And, you know, issues like that that would come up. There's, of course, sexism issues that come up, and mm-hmm. there's assault issues that come up, and exploitation. But the music industry itself is one that is, you know, there's a lot of exploitation that goes on. And we're seeing this right now with the Taylor Swift situation and she's a famous artist.
The Taylor Swift situation. I didn't know about the Taylor Swift situation.
Well, just that, you know, she signed away her rights in perpetuity when she was 15 years old. And to me, that's exploitive when you have a 15-year-old coming in to the music industry, whether their parents are there to, you know, they don't know. Well, perpetuity is a long time. That's like forever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it leaves it open for young people to be exploited instead of supported in their creativity. And I think that there's a lot of terms that need to be set to protect young artists and to foster creativity rather than, you mm-hmm. know, just take everything you can get from, you know, these artists that are coming up because they're desperate for fame and fortune or just mm-hmm. really to be heard in a very vulnerable position. So to me, again, I felt like women were operating at kind of with a vulnerability there, especially. And I wanted a place where women could speak openly about the issues that they faced. And sometimes that's hard to do when you're dealing with sexism mm-hmm. and then you leave it open for everybody to comment and then men weigh in and that sort of thing. So I wanted to have a space that was kind of safe for them to just open up and let's talk about it and let's see how we can support each other, because that's another issue. We're often pitted against one another. The comparisons, she sings better than you do, or she's prettier than you, or she's this, you know.
That comparison I don't like. Sorry to say the word, but I detest it. And I'm sorry if I had compared you, like, your style with...
That's not what I mean. I mean, when people, they sort of make you compete, that you have to be better than.
Yes.
Not a favorable comparison to say, oh, this person sounds like this. It's more the idea of, in order to motivate you, they play off of your insecurities, and then you end up not being able to support your sister songwriters or sister performers because you feel like you're competing with them. And mm-hmm. I just felt like that wasn't necessary because we could be supporting each other and helping each other and cheering each other on. And I've seen a lot of other women who really got on board with that or wanted or have been doing that lately and speaking up about it. And I just wanted to have my, you know, start something, just get the conversation started and start supporting each other. So that's why I started.
The rivalry is not just limited to the United States, although there's a lot here. There's been other types of rivalry of that sort in Latin America. When I was in the Dominican Republic, they pitted one actress and singer against another actress and singer. And in the Latin community, both of us know it. Both of us know we're Americans, but we're also Latin.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in the Spanish-speaking world, the English-speaking world. And you talked about Taylor Swift. That rung a bell. I don't know if you're familiar. There was a Spanish singer called Joselito. He was a Spanish singer. He was a Spanish singer of the 50s and 60s. He was a little kid. Now he's a 71-year-old person. But when he was a little kid, this is like in the Spain of Franco. Franco, for those who don't know Franco was a leader of Spain. Others say he's a dictator, others say he was a president, but we're not going to get into that. We're just going to say that Joselito was a singer and an actor and a little kid at that time. And he had a contract with RCA Victor in Spain. And from what he said in an interview, at that time, RCA Victor in Spain, like other record companies, exploited their artists in the 50s and 60s. And even as a kid, they stole some of his royalties. He had to fight to get his royalties. And he was placed in many roles that were incompatible with his voice. And then finally, around the late 60s and early 70s, either due to changes of musical tastes in Spain, because now Spain at that time was trying to imitate the Beatles. I have some of the Spanish rock records. Joselito was unceremoniously dumped by RCA Victor.
Yeah.
According to him. And this sort of thing reminded, you told me about Taylor Swift, this sort of ring a bell.
Yeah, there's so many situations. Another thing that came up in one of the groups that I'm in was what labels used to do as far as they had a famous group and then they had another group that sort of sounded like them. And they would sign that group and have them record an album and then just refuse to release it so they weren't competing with their star. You know, I mean, just things like that. There's terms that need to be set that aren't necessarily against the law, but they certainly shouldn't be acceptable in the music industry. And aside from just, you know, things that happen to women in the industry, it's just there's a lot of exploitation that goes on that should be called out. And I think now is the time to call it out where it hasn't been called out before or where it hasn't been. It's been called out, but it's been ignored. And you see so many organizations stepping up to talk about, you know, fairness in royalties, fairness in streaming, you know, royalties, fairness in, you know, radio licensing and the whole bit. And just I think it's a good time to start bringing up some of these issues because, as it is, artists are doing more and more for less and less, and that needs to be addressed as well.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Before I leave, I'm going to close, but after I close and finish the show, I want to close on a more personal note after I finish the show with you. I do want to thank you for coming to the show. I also hope to one day re-invite Vanessa Lively. I love her. I love her music. And I also want to invite Nicolette Good. I've always wanted to invite her.
Yeah.
We never got around. I never got around. These are three of my favorite Texas artists.
Oh, that's lovely.
You, because you saved me from you already. I don't even have to repeat that. I'm 57, turning 58. But you saved me. Your music saved me. Actually, Vanessa Lively. When I heard Vanessa Lively a long time ago, recorded a song in her album. In Spanish, she's also the social justice, which I love too.
Yes, she is very much.
And she's recorded a song called Los Hermanos by Atahualpa Yupanqui. I've heard various versions of this song. There was one version by Andre Jimenez. Andre Jimenez is a Puerto Rican singer, songwriter in the center of Puerto Rico. He is very much, he's very social justice.
Yeah.
In his last Christmas album, he challenged everyone to do the Green New Deal in Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's wonderful. And Vanessa's she does a lot. She's doing a lot for
music. But when I heard Vanessa Lively, but Andre Jimenez, before I go off on a tangent, Andre Jimenez recorded Los Hermanos, and it was very beautiful. I loved it. But Vanessa Lively, when she recorded the Los Hermanos, it gave me another, let's just say it's sort of like, gave me chills to the blood.
Yeah.
It reminded me of those times long time ago in Venezuela. The people picking the coffee. I was in a cooperative in Venezuela a long time ago. I visited. And even the rich and the poor in that cooperative picked the coffee, picked the mangoes, the whole bit. And they redistributed the fruits and the fruits amongst themselves. And I'm talking about the 70s. And it reminded me of those, at that era, the countryside, the tranquility. None of the things that we have of the monopolies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I do. And I know that Vanessa has such a heart, you know, when she writes and when she sings, too. And I know this is a song that was a folk song. But yeah, I haven't heard her version of it, but I know her and I know the way she puts her whole heart into everything.
Yeah, her version of Los Hermanos put me in another perspective. It reinforced my social consciousness.
That's wonderful.
Not only as a Green, remember, I don't belong to any party. I'm a libertarian.
I remember that.
But besides that, I want to thank you for coming. I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas to you and your family. I do have one dream. My dream is to one day meet you personally, if not here, in Florida.
I hope. I know. I keep going back to Florida, and I keep, you know, being tied up in where I am. And I say, you know, I know somebody in Florida. I should come visit him. And I think the last time you're like, well, you know, you're having vacation with your family, but I really love Florida.
Yeah, or either that, the other part of my dream was me to go to Texas. And not only to thank you like I do now on the telephone or the Instagram, but to thank you personally. And also not only for what you've done for me, but for what you've done for humanity with your music. I also wanted to thank Vanessa Lively for her too. You and Vanessa Lively and Nicolette, I think also, Nicolette Good is also, you're the heroes of social justice.
Thank you.
You're the ones, I'm not saying this to praise you or be syrupy or everything. Those are record companies. I'm just saying this because before we had people talking about social justice, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez,
mm-hmm.
who I admire. Although if I say it out loud, I'll be killed.
Too late, you said it.
I know. But before she came onto the scene,
mm-hmm.
it was people like you and Vanessa Lively that sort of kept the flames alive. Maybe that's why I like Los Hermanos.
But yeah, I'm sure it is, and I think that anybody who has a heart for social justice and does something about it is a hero to me. So it's everybody doing their part.
Yeah, but mine's is not as well as you or Vanessa or Ocasio-Cortez.
You never know kind of influence you have from what you do, and you speak out a lot, so
remember I'm a very rarity here, born in Ohio to Cuban parents. Cubans are supposedly either Republicans or Democrats, and somehow in among the way, okay, I'm gonna confess a sin. I was once sort of like a Democrat then a Republican, but when I went to Germany at the tender age of 11 years in 1973,
yeah,
I became a libertarian. I didn't even know that I was a libertarian. I didn't know I was a libertarian until I found out I was a libertarian. I said, "Wow, I can identify with the libertarians." I do have a green. I do have a green part, but I still have to hone on the green part. I'm cutting back.
You know, the most important thing is that the most important thing is that you vote. That's what I think. I think it's the most important thing for everybody to get informed about stuff and vote, because the more we participate, the more our government represents us. Mm-hmm. If we don't participate, it only represents those people that are participating. So
true. There are times when I didn't vote because there was one said, those who count the votes are the ones who win, are the ones who decide the victor. But and there are many people who have wanted to crucify me for voting libertarian. How dare you? This is you're wasting your vote. And the thing is, I don't consider it wasting a vote for libertarian or for a green, because neither of the big parties represented me.
And you have to go with your gut and your heart and where you stand. That's how you get a government that represents you.
And and I have to confess one other sin. In the elections of 2016, I did vote, but please do not crucify me on my vote.
I will try not to. I won't. You know I won't.
I voted for myself.
Well, there you go. I can't crucify you for that.
Yeah, I looked at the libertarians, I looked at the greens, and we were, at that time, it was incompatible. The Democrats, Ohio had a not so nice memory with the Democrats and the Republicans. They were the old Democrats who were the corrupt elite. And the Republicans, they had the same thing, the corrupt elite. And Trump, I sort of have a mixed feeling, but the mixed feeling is economics.
Exactly how I feel.
No, but I mean the mixed feeling I look at under historical context, because I studied history.
Mm.
He wants to portray himself as various people. You once said that you cannot become other people. You have to be yourself. At times portrayed himself as an economist. He has portrayed himself as another Reagan. He has even portrayed himself as another Silvio Berlusconi. Silvio Berlusconi was the Prime Minister of Italy. I knew once Reagan personally. There was a big difference. Economist. My libertarianism, if I have a libertarianism in the United States, is based on Milton Friedman. Trump has this thing about, what is it? Economy based on deficit. You can't have an economy based on a deficit of $24 trillion.
No.
So the economist part doesn't work. And Berlusconi, I don't know him well, but I've seen him on television many times. He's the only prime minister who could be a comedian, although he's one of the old schools.
Yeah.
And at the same time, yeah, a millionaire, but he did everything. But he had a sense of humor. This one.
Tough job.
This one, he doesn't have a sense of humor. It's like.
Well, it's important to be able to communicate your message in a good way, but it's also important to have integrity.
Yeah.
And to be able to stand by your word.
And last but not least, the VP that he chose. I've seen better Christians than him.
I have as well. I know it's not necessarily supposed to be our place to judge, but at some point you have to be discerning and you have to have some sort of measure of criteria of what's Christian and what's not. So yeah, I'd have to agree with you there.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna take much time. I'm gonna say I wanna wish you the best and welcome back to the Americana Bistro Grill, even though we were off the air in March. We hope to have you do the Americana Bistro Grill theme again, but this time with the AG News Show for MP3. We're going to have you do that because we're going to be starting anew in January of 2020. I'm also pulling off of YouTube because YouTube and the FTC has decided that they're going to screw the YouTube creators to the tune of $42,000. So
yeah.
I'm going to be doing my new things, and all of this is going to be in my WordPress blog. And I'm hoping to have you do the theme song again for the Americana Bistro Grill in the beginning. The Lunatic Moon was the one that I loved the most.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then at the end for the Christmas one, the Cherry Tree Carol. Okay, everybody here in the Americana Bistro Grill, I want to wish you the best. I want to thank Laura Marie for coming. The Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving. I know I'm very like the goodbyes. Peace in, peace out, and peace everywhere. And until the next time, thanks.
All right.